Leprosy. We're going to be in leprosy for a while. Of all of the diseases, ailments, whatever, in the times of the scriptures, and still in the Middle East, leprosy was the most feared. It was more feared than cancer or any of the other kinds of things that could happen to you. And it still is. We don't know a great deal about leprosy in the United States because it's very rare here. But to be leprous in Israel was the worst possible thing that could happen to you. To be leprous in the forehead in Israel was the worst of the worst. It caused you to be, number one, cast away from the presence of your friends, your family. It caused you to be cast away from any possibility of having anything to do with God. You were cast off from the people. You couldn't participate in any of the social intercourse. You couldn't participate in any thing that was part and parcel of life to them. You were totally, again, speaking in terms of the leprosy of the forehead, you were totally and completely and forever alone in life and in death. There was no possibility of redemption. There was no possibility of healing. There was no possibility of being accepted by anyone or any place in your world. You were destined to be forever alone. There was no possibility in the environment for any escape from that aloneness. There was no drama, no theater, no movies, no television, no books. You couldn't, and you were forbidden to read Torah. There was no hope. Understand me?
Even suicide wasn't hope.
No, because that meant you were just alone in death also. Now, remember, leprosy is, all of you Scrabble players, is a zymotic disease. A zymotic, Z-Y-M-O-T-I-C. And zymotic means that it's spread or it's continued by the process of fermentation. And it's a slow, endless decaying or decomposition of any organic compound. And it's induced by a living organism. Now, a man named Hansen discovered the microbe that causes, that is the first cause of leprosy, but he didn't discover it until 1871.
It's a bacteria?
No, it's a microbe, which is different than a bacteria. But you have to, before we can go further, you have to understand that that is the predicate for the gospel. Until you individually know that that is you, then the gospel will mean nothing to you. Capisce? no matter, and that's why I've emphasized lately, the idea of your closet. Your closet is the place of the origin of that living organism, the microbe, that spreads. The leprosy. You've got to know by now that you, all your life, have been in that curse by the Holy Spirit. That you have been forever alone, cast off, without hope. Now, the God of this world has caused you and the rest of the universe's minds to be blinded so that they don't see that they are forever alone. And he's reversed all truth to cause you to believe the lie. He's caused the illusion of progress to give you an environment in where the lie is more easily believed. Lie of, and he's caused a commercialism that you buy, that if you, or that you accept, that if you buy a certain product or dress in a certain way, that you won't be alone, or if you drink a certain drink, or if you have a particular education, or if you are do a job in a certain way, that you won't be alone. But the fact that you subconsciously know you're leprous is the basis of all commerce, of all commercials, of all life. Do you understand me? Therefore, you are manipulatable on the basis of something that promises you a lessening of your aloneness. And it doesn't ever promise you a cure. And it's smarter than that. Am I communicating? I told you the other night, a month or so ago, that from the spiritual standpoint, we haven't yet started. All you've thus far found out is what it isn't. And every once in a while, there's been a flash to see what it is. But it's only brief and forgettable flashes. The reason for you are not yet started is because if you've touched a dead body, if you've touched blood, if you have been guilty of adultery, or if you're leprous, you can't enter the camp. Therefore, those are the things by which the waters of purification in various forms are necessary for you to apprehend prior to the time in which you can begin the process. The only thing you've done thus far is you've begun unlearning. Now, to begin to unlearn has taken some of you 14 years. It's probably because you had a bad teacher. But whatever the reason.
A lot to unlearn.
Hmm?
A lot to unlearn.
The only way that you can understand the ashes of the red heifer is to be in a position where the red heifer is ready to fall. The only way you can understand the waters of jealousy is to understand that you are totally and completely adulterous. The only way you can understand what we'll study in the next few days, the cleansing of the leper, is to understand that you are totally and completely leprous. Otherwise, it's just historical bullshit. Therefore, you cannot apprehend that aspect of the sacrifice. Therefore, you cannot see that aspect of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now there's two very long chapters and a lot of jillions of other references in the Old Testament on leprosy. There's not two very long chapters and jillions of things on any other disease. The reason is because, as I said the other night, because it is this zymotic, i.e. fermenting disease or condition, it is 180 degrees opposite from the mystery, from the wine.
Yeah.
Leprosy is the fermenting in your aloneness, in your coveredness, in your taking yourself seriouslyness, in your rebelliousness, in your creating a thousand. The reason there's so many cults and denominations and religions is because if you are in the spirit, condemned forever to aloneness, what you will do is try to create a religion or join a religion for which you can continue in your aloneness but have the illusion of togetherness. That is the singular reason that the electronic church is popular.
Yeah, the ultimate way of being.
But it's also the reason that denominations exist. Because it's the process by which a group of people try to set up a religion outside of the appointed place. It's all religions, therefore, are a type of the Samaritans. And that's why the Samaritans were the hated of all people, from the standpoint of the Jews. Do you understand? Doesn't matter what your religion is. Doesn't matter if it's Assembly of God or Shinto. There's still an attempt to set up a leprous religion outside the place appointed by the Father. It doesn't matter whether it's Ramtha or Ram Dass or Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Eddy or Holy Anthony. That's why I don't give a holy rat's ass about anybody's religion or anybody's idea of subjective truth. There's only one place appointed, and that's the New Jerusalem. There's only one ark. There's only one mercy seat. What you or I think about that is immaterial. And that's why I have never debated with you. I don't care what you think.
There's an important tie-in, you know, somewhere in this to abiding, because, I mean, that's where, you know, when people pull back, I mean, that's what permits all the denominationalism and different things, because, you know, something's always just, you know, I've never liked it. It's just, if people, they won't abide through something. They won't, you know, and traditionally, obviously, I haven't a lot of times, but. You know, just stay there until truth becomes evident, because it will if you don't move.
Amen.
Otherwise, God is not.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now,
I want to ask you a question, because it's staying here. This thing about fermentation, is that what takes place in a dung heap?
It's the gradual decomposition of an organic substance. That's why. Leprosy, as we'll study, which really gets wild when we study the leprosy of the garments, but it can only occur on linen, or wool, or leather.
Natural.
I mean, that's the other things in the law that's provided for, which we'll don't think about it now. But it's
he's sorry.
Right, don't think about that.
Never mind.
Now, I promise you something. That within the next 3 or 4 times after we meet, you will thoroughly understand leprosy. And I also promise you then that as you search the scriptures, it'll be as though you never read Torah before. You'll see why the man was thrown out of the wedding feast. Because he didn't have on the wedding garment? Well, there's only one other garment he could have on. He's got a garment that's spotted by the flesh, which is, that's the only time the garment is spotted by the flesh, is if it's leprous. He's not talking about sweat stains. Anyway, well, all those parables and stuff that connect, and the righteousness and the robes and the linen, are all tied in to an understanding of the Torah's meaning of leprosy. What? You can't just laugh. You can't just sit there and giggle. Now, the only purpose that you or any other believer is in the process of is to become a priest, right? Do you understand that? A royal priesthood. Lepers are totally and completely and forever excluded from the priesthood. Guess what? Leprosy is hereditary.
I knew it's right. It's a tendency
towards
the
sins of the father.
Ha!
What?
Just ha.
Ha.
Needs an explanation.
But in truth, the thing that causes leprosy is that which is good. It's the normal process of emotions and passions that are to be outpoured as the drink offering in the wine, kept inward and second guessed They're lepers. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
And not mixed with other grapes. Now, some of you have been really bad lepers.
You.
But didn't even. The two worst lepers in the group that have been here the longest are sitting immediately to my left.
Well, the left goes all the way around.
It's
as far as the east is from the west, that kind of idea.
Is there, you're talking about there's leprosy and there's this and there's that and there's this. Each, is there one, will one person be more tended to be more leprous and one person be more tended to be one of the other things you mentioned?
It's all leprous.
No, those are just other metaphors for condition.
So we're all of those things.
You're all of them, but there are. You see, the problem is if you don't know you're leprous,
I think we'd be knowing it. Yeah, my forehead was starting to feel pretty weird.
Third eyes.
Well, I had a conversation with Pyle today that was interesting. He was telling me how alone he felt. And I told him I didn't feel that way. And I don't. Even when I'm alone.
Well, because that you've been that way all your life. And the reason is that you have been able from childhood to create a whole series of scenarios and idolatry that will keep you from seeing the condition. And that's why you have been spent half your life mad at me. Go to Ezekiel 3. We're going to stay on the forehead for a while, okay? Remember, leprosy of the forehead. Let me read that just to set the record straight.
Yeah, what's that?
Leviticus 13. No, the process is Leviticus. The whole thing is Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. But what we're going to read right now about the forehead is Leviticus 13, 43. 42. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as a leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Now, that's different than any other leprosy. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Okay?
Sir, this is just a side question, but is there any reason biologically why leprosy is worse on the head than... like if you had it on your hand or something?
No. Probably kidding. Okay, now Ezekiel 3.
And if your head falls off, pretty good.
Well. Ezekiel has just been called. Ezekiel 3. Well, let me just read 2. The 2 is the call of Ezekiel. I'll read it real quick. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. And I heard him that spake unto me, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children. Now, impudent always has the implication of the hard forehead or the leprous forehead. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I descend thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dwellest among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. That is forever and always condition. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now, that book is ever before your eyes, and all you have to do is open your mouth. That's what prophecy is. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. But what happens when it hit his belly?
It's bitter.
It's bitter. Because the word is always the enemy of the appetite. Sweet in your mouth, and bitter in your stomach. And again, that's why Christ, or Paul said, set in Philippians 3:18. He talked about the idea that people are an enemy of the cross of Christ. He said he's told them often, and he's told again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. They're not enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross. Because their God is their belly, our appetites. They mind earthly things. That's why 1 John says, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Well, this isn't just religion, this is everything. Okay. You understand how you are an enemy of the cross? That's why you cannot trust man. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. for all those of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. The word impudent means stiff of forehead, scaly of forehead. Isaiah 48.
Is this the nature of believers or something?
It's the nature of mankind. Remember, the house of Israel is now all the human race, because the seed of Israel is shed on everybody.
But this distinction talks about the people of a strange speech and a hard language. It distinguishes them between the house of Israel. Who are those people?
Well,
or is that just they're nobody?
They're nobody now, because now all is, there's either the only vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy.
So when he says he's going to make his forehead hard
against them,
that's for the special purpose of...
Always, no. The hard forehead is, we'll see. Just wait, we'll see that. Right. Isaiah 48. Hear this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, thy forehead is as brass. I have from the beginning declared it unto thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not declare it. I have showed thee new things from this time, and even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. Well, anyway, the point is that thy brow is as brass. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 17. What?
Hold on, Samuel.
Yeah. David has just gone down and refused the armor of Saul and gone down to the brook and picked out 5 smooth stones. In verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto him, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Now, when this is the idea of the beast and the prophet in Revelation, which we'll see. I mean, this is the same story. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, deadly head wound. Got it? Revelation 13.
A stone for a stone.
We got it. Sure, kids have a lot of ties. Well,
true.
Got a ton of Old Testament.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having. By the way, before I do that, there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about on Rosh Hashanah, and we ran out of time, but one of them was the seven angels and the seven trumpets. And the last trump shall sound is what it says. Well, in each of you has been a bunch of trumpets sounding. You haven't heard the seventh one yet. The seventh one is the trump, they call it the trump of God, because it ends time. But that trumpet is the sounding of the angel sounding the shofar. In Revelation 11 and 12, it's the seventh angel sounding the seventh trump. You got it? Okay. One of these days, Stealth Group has to catch up to Bananas and study of Revelation. Huh?
Well, I should say that, sorry.
And I stood upon the sand. This is after the seventh trump has sounded. You got it? Okay, and I stood, and this, and again, it has to stand, this, the trumpet has to sound in you. Happy are the people that know the sound of the trumpets. Okay, now once this seventh trumpet sounds in you, you know there is no more time. You may be still living here, but you're just as Christ, who at the point of the time that the seed was planted into the ground, and he was standing there talking to his disciples, and he said, say not yet that there are 4 months unto the harvest. The seed was just planted. It's going to take 4 months to become harvested. He said, say not that there are 4 months yet unto the harvest. But look out and see the fields are white unto the harvest. That can only come by the hearing of the trumpets. The seven angels of the seven trumpets that are connected to the seven seals have been blowing since the beginning of time, longing for a group or a body to hear them. Yeah. All your bullshit comes from one source. That is, you have not heard the trumpet. You got it? And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Remember, Goliath was in the Promised Land. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Now the crowns, the 10 crowns, according to Zohar and everything else, are the 10 sorceries of Egypt. Now, unfortunately, all of you are still using those sorceries, and that's what keeps you from hearing the trumpet. They're the enemies of grace, the enemies of faith. the enemies of the finishedness of God. And yet you continue daily and daily using those sorceries. Why? Because you have not yet seen your lepers and the futility of using sorcery anymore. Watch. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. By definition, blasphemy, now hear this, if you never hear anything else I ever tell you, from God's standpoint, blasphemy is to say there's something left to do. That's the ultimate blasphemy to God, because it denies the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. That's a big time. On his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, when we get into that in detail, we'll see how in you it typifies those kingdoms that are represented by those beasts. And that's why we see in Daniel's vision that the stone made without hands burst it all. But it was happened in history, but it's also happened in you.
Also, Goliath here is saying he will give David's body to the beast.
Amen.
Filled, and it's like he's made up of this beast.
Amen. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's good. I like that.
I'm over here fermenting a little bit on the prior sentence. It says there's nothing left to do, and yet the sentence before was like the reason we're the way we are is because we haven't heard the trumpet. So it's like, well, when we hear the trumpet, then things will be different. The
trumpet's already sounding.
The trumpet's already sounding. Why? It's only your rebellion that hasn't caused you to hear it.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, all that stuff has happened. It's just we haven't.
It's like we're sitting here yelling, so we won't hear it, right?
Yeah, so there's nothing left to do. It's all already been done.
That's why,
and
again,
our apprehension is.
Right. That's why we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. That's why the only thing that's happening is you're presenting yourself the living sacrifice that you might be transfigured by the renewing of your mind to see the finishedness.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's interesting is with hearing, it has to be some kind of rebellion to prevent you from hearing. I mean, if you had your eyes closed, then there would be something to do, which is like open your eyes. But, it's just like you've got to be yelling and yelling or doing something to blot it all out, because it automatically goes into your, talking about on the sensory level. It's something that's why I hear, people when they talk to you, it's so powerful, because all of a sudden they're right there in your ear. I don't know.
Okay. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Now, this is the one head that controls the whole mechanism. Now, again, these heads, we will see, they're all explained in the star charts. That's why, in the constellations and its various decans, that's why when you can't understand Revelation without understanding the temple, and you can't understand the temple and Revelation without understanding the star map. Because that's the basis upon which they spoke, the imagery that was used. So now all these idiots talk about these are helicopters or a common market or
B-1 bombers
or Barbara's Bible. That one has all these evidence of modern inventions in ancient times. Airplanes and helicopters. I mean, it's just obscene.
So all this leopards and bears and lions and dragons are all the stars?
Yeah, but it's also the kingdoms of the earth that prefigured Christ. And it's also the picture of you as that idol that has to have the destroyed by the stone made without hands. That's why we sing the threshing floor. Okay, watch. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The only thing that will cause all the world to wonder after the beast is the commonality of the beast. You are wondering after the beast with your every breath, because you are the beast. You've been healed from the deadly head wound. You've risen from the dead, from the deadly head wound. Yeah. You are that serpent that is operating in the guise of Gary Buckner or Pete Evans or on around the room, trying to gain understanding. Trying to prove down deep in your closet that you're not separate. Trying to usurp the authority of the living God in your temple. And I'm sick of it. This mind cannot be renewed in terms of your understanding of what renewal means. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be subject to the law of God. It's impossible. And all of your attempts at apprehension by your way of apprehension, sitting down, figuring out, calculating, are an enemy of revelation. If you don't understand something, you don't sit and stew about it, you turn from self. Say, Father, forgive me. I've given the land back to the enemy. If you don't, by definition, in your sincere attempts to understand, all you are doing is causing the leprosy to spread. And it'll touch everything you touch, and everything you touch will be made unclean. Am I communicating a little bit? But the leper always does it in sincerity. In sincerity. Oh, I'm just trying to understand. Oh, poor me. All the world wondered after the beast. That's what the whole world is doing. Do you understand me? They're not wondering after that something over there. They're wondering after the beast here.
I just saw something for the first time, that this is a reflection, like an opposite reflection of the resurrection, and not everything that represents.
Amen.
Is the beast. And if you see, like all the stuff in the stars and everything, and the desire of nations without the revelation becomes wandering after the beast.
Amen.
You know, it's all taken into self, and it becomes...
The whole world is your mirror.
Yeah.
It's a beast resurrection.
Exactly. You're only a vessel, Ben. I mean, there can't be anything left to do because the thing is dead. And all of the thing that appears to be effort is in the realm of the lie, which is...
The beast raising from the dead in you. It's Satan disguised as you. I mean, that's the thing I've taught you from the beginning, for 14 years.
You're only a vessel.
That the cross is the evidence of that. All right. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. The dragon is Satan, and he's the one that has given power to you. That's why Jesus called you the children of the devil. That's why John called you the seed of the snake. That's why I call you sperm cells. I mean, this stuff isn't negotiable. And they worshipped the dragon. Now, you don't think you're worshipping the dragon. Every single time you are concerned with the kingdom of self, you are falling down on your face worshipping the dragon. That old serpent, Satan. And you have fallen into his guise, his... I mean, you don't have to worry about it. That's what you do. And all the world wondered after the beast. and all the world worshipped the dragon. Please argue with me. I dare you to.
Oh, you're right.
Well, I mean, then your own mouths have condemned you. What kind of look is that?
He's not going to open his mouth. What's new?
And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Oh, poor me. Oh, oh me.
I'm unique.
I am me.
Oh, poor me. Poor kid.
You got it? It's right here. You understand now how these perverted blasphemers that are talking about that building, rebuilding some stupid temple on some stupid plot of land are only promoting blasphemy? Causing you to think, well, when that temple is built, then I'll turn from self. Then I'll repent. All right. Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's why we're here. To expose the son of perdition, the man of sin. That's my only reason for living. And there was given unto him a mouth. Boy, was there given unto him a mouth. Speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now here we come back to the mystery 3.5 years. From the time that in Daniel when he caused the oblation to cease until the time when the abomination of desolation was set up in the temple. In the spirit, this is the time from your baptism until the death of the abomination of desolation. It's the time from the baptism of Christ in the flesh to his crucifixion. And don't you be among those, as modern religion does, that takes that marvelous series of scriptures in Daniel 9 and says he causes the oblation to cease. That he, they make that the Antichrist.
Yeah, that's bad.
Or Satan. Jesus Christ caused the oblation to cease the day he was baptized, because then from that point forward, sacrifice had no more meaning. Now, he's able to continue in you symbolically for 42 months after your baptism. But that's all. You got it?
I don't know what an oblation is.
Sacrifice. The sacrifices in the temple, from the God standpoint, ceased the moment Christ was baptized.
I don't understand what it means that he's only able to continue 42 months in me.
Satan.
Oh, okay.
The Antichrist is only able after the oblations to cease. You got it? Watch. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You've been baptized, right? But he's still speaking blasphemies.
He's still saying that by my actions that there's some.
But he's only got power for a little while. All right. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. There isn't anyone that isn't under that power. You got it? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And that's becoming more and more apparent. It's more visible all the time. You understand, really? All that are dwelling upon the earth are worshiping the beast. But the beast is in the disguise. He's in your name. It's not very tricky. It's a stupid beast. Every man, hear me. Hear me. And and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. That's why.
So Christ in us is never worshiping that beast.
Amen.
But in the 42 months of linear time or whatever it is that we're
spiritual here, time.
Yeah, right. Then we worship him until the abomination of desolation
is seen.
Yeah. Well, the stone.
Okay, now watch. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Well, the sword here is this. My job is to teach you to wield the sword.
So he's killing with words. The beast is. Right. And so the only way to kill him is with the words.
Right. Now let's go to Isaiah. I mean, 1 Thessalonians.
What is it? Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Well, this is the purpose of life. This is why we're here.
That's why we have faith.
Okay, go to Thessalonians.
And it makes me think about where Jesus in Revelation says, "I'll fight against you with the sword of my mouth."
Amen.
Where is
that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Now wait, did we tie in with David and Goliath?
No, we will in a minute. Yeah, but I got to get this straight because there's too much confusion. I feel it. What time is it?
There's a flying cricket. He's got wings.
9:38. He won't do that. All right. Let's get him. Kill the beast.
I didn't know it was this late. We'll.
Oh, let's just keep going.
Kill Jimmy.
Let's just read this.
No.
No.
Look, we just found it. Yeah. No.
What about
it's the age old thing that you always think, how can you think your thoughts are all Christ and all everything and still know that they're all the Antichrist and
thing that just get into the loop.
Yeah.
The instant that you see, all these are metaphors for that which is preordained. I don't want to sound weird, but the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father, I won't go into it tonight, but at one point in that process, the child or the adolescent sees he's totally leprous. The moment he does, he crosses from the adolescent to the young man because he's overcome the evil one. I mean, this is simply all kinds of infinite varieties of ways of explaining this process by which antagonism comes against the innocence of the seed.
Yeah.
And there's an infinite number of ways that is described in the scriptures. Because you are like, the seed in you is like, again, we've talked about this deal, that if the light that lighteth all men were exactly in the center of this globe, and he was shining with equal intensity in all directions, and every point on this globe had to be transformed so that it could be seen, the light would be seen. Well, it has to start out somewhere. All of the time, the earth is spinning as your earth. You are the earth. There comes a time where there's an earthquake or a crack, and light escapes. And then slowly but surely, by the preaching of the word, that places that you've taken a stand or have a covering are destroyed. They're not destroyed, they're transformed or transfigured so that light shines through them. They become transparent. That's we all with open face, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
So the Antichrist mind is transformed.
It's just...
It's like you never have to relearn how to ride a bicycle as a kid once you, you know, I mean, you don't, you just don't ever have to remember all the little rules that you started out thinking. I mean, they're gone. You don't even, you know.
But every time you think you have it, then I'll come at you some other direction to make sure you don't.
That's what, right. Because that's what it's got to be fully tested.
So that there's nowhere where you take a stand.
I like this earthquake analogy. Is that, there'll be a little booklet called The Meaning of Magma.
No, it's going to call it, it's going to be called The Meaning of a Smegma.
Because the inexorable thing is to take a stand.
Yeah, the meaning of sponsors.
Huh?
The inexorable thing is to take a stand.
Yeah.
Gotten this far, I'm gonna sit down and make camp here.
Right.
And then somebody comes along and kicks your camper.
Skunk.
Or pees in the
camper. Skunk comes along.
Or kicks your camper. Or kicks your baby into the camper.
You don't want to
make sure
you
fire the camper.
Better take a big guy pretty quick here.
Take a big guy.
Take a big guy.
Or.